Well, it's interesting that the in the introduction they reference the Christmas readings, the whole thing about the land of Naphtali and Zebulun, seeing the light and this type of thing. Because it's interesting, reflecting back on the Christmas readings and the stories that we're familiar with, there were ways that human beings became aware of Jesus. You know, the angel Gabriel came to Mary, came to the shepherds, the star, this manifestation to the Magi, and they all came to see Jesus. Somehow they were made aware through spiritual means or means of the heavens. Somewhere in their life, in their heart, they got a movement. They got some kind of inspiration that God was working in the midst of what may well be considered ordinary circumstances that then turned very extraordinary. But they had to choose to go and see him. I mean, you know, the shepherds were given this call, this direction. They could have said, oh, well, you know, it was a piece of bad breakfast. You know, I think we'll just stay here in the fields. Or the Magi could have said, oh, that's an interesting formation in the star, in the sky, the star. They could have had some type of movement in their life, and they could well have ignored it. But they didn't. They went and they traveled and they saw Jesus. They made some kind of concrete steps going forward. And then we got the reading today, and Jesus is coming to these folks, these in the midst of their ordinary daily lives. You know, I get this vision of either these two brothers that are probably, you know, have had more than one bloody nose given to one or the other by, you know, in terms of all that goes on within families. And then you got, you know, James and John in their father's boat. And I'm sure their father was really delighted when Jesus came up and said, come on, come with me. It's like, hey, who's going to mend these friggin' nets? Where are you going? You know, I'm sure that the father was not all enthusiastic about his sons, who he probably hoped to give the business to, taken off after this carpenter from Nazareth. But somehow, these four men that we are told about, Peter and Andrew, James and John, something happened within them. And they responded. There's this whole theme that, and we've talked about it before, call and response. You know, whether that's Abraham or Noah or Moses or David, you know, the prophets, all the way through the scripture, there is this call and response where God somehow calls to us through whatever means that may be. And each one of us is going to be different. But as I was thinking about this during the week, there was one line that kept on coming into my brain. And it's from the 95th Psalm, and it's also mentioned a couple times in the book of Hebrews, reflecting back to that psalm. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. So I was thinking about that, and I thought, well, in the ancient world, what does the heart mean? I mean, we sort of have this, you know, we have a biological sense of who we are. And the heart, we know that, you know, we talk about having a broken heart, or I love you with all my heart, or whatever. But, you know, a lot of what we do today, we think about the brain. We think about the neurons in the brain, brain chemistry, and our thoughts, and we make these distinctions. For the ancient people, the heart was the center of all intellect, all emotion, all intelligence, all morals. Everything was wrapped up in your heart. The whole of who you were was as a person could be said as residing within your heart. And we're told time and time again, it's in that analogy of the heart, it's used like 1,000 times in the scriptures. It's the most used analogy or allegory, if you whatever, within the scriptures, the whole thing of the heart, the human heart. And when you give your heart, when you would give your heart to God, you would give everything. Your mind, your emotion, your intellect, your spirit, your rational and irrational choices, or the way maybe the way we would talk about it, our conscious and our unconscious choices, the whole of you. And then we're warned in the midst of that, if today you hear his voice, harden not your heart. It's kind of assumptions within that. Assumption number one is that you recognize his voice. You know, how well do I and how well do we recognize the voice of God when God is calling and working within our lives? Sometimes it's difficult to tell. But if the whole of, if this whole thing of heart, if today you hear his voice, harden not your heart. And for the ancient people, the heart was spiritual, emotional, intellectual, the fullness of who you are. You can pretty much be sure if you're hearing this small, still voice, not a voice that is in sort of distraction or craziness or heat of the moment, but that small, still voice that when you are quiet, and again, it takes some getting to know that voice of God, that assumes that in our lives we have listened. In my line of working with the people that I work with, we talk about a moment of clarity, where in the midst of this insanity that many of the people that I work with, their lives are just totally insane, and you get that one moment of clarity, a moment of clarity where you know that you know. Now that is opening your heart to that voice of God, what God is calling. Now sometimes we don't want to do that. We don't want to follow what the Lord has set out for us because it's kind of scary or it's frightening or we're unsure. You can have that moment of clarity and know that God is calling you, and then you say, yeah, I know that to be true, and then 2 or 3 days later you're going, yeah, I'm not so sure. Well, that's what faith is all about. You have to take that walk. So how does God speak to you? The shepherds, it was the angel Gabriel. To the Magi, it was a star. To Peter and Andrew and James and John, it was Jesus walking up and saying, follow me. They could well have said, no, no thanks. Got my job doing what I do, and who's going to take care of all this stuff? Got bills to pay. We know that Peter was married. Can you imagine what his wife said? You did what? With who? Who's going to pay the bills? Now, we're not giving any of that information. But you see, in the context of the lives, if we go ahead and just let our imaginations go, following Jesus for these guys, we think that somehow it was a real clear choice. I don't think their choices were any clearer than ours are. And God does work within our ordinary human lives and then makes them extraordinary. I have come so you may have life and have it to the full, as it says in the Gospel of John, the fullness of human life. Now, is it possible to harden our heart to that life and that call? Absolutely. That's what sin is. Hardening ourselves to that. Sometimes that hardness can become a habit. Then it gets real problematic. Because we just get used to not listening. We just think to ourselves, well, that's just the way it is, and it will always be. We can become very fatalistic. I'm just meant to be alone. He or she will never change. And on and on and on and on. If today you hear His voice, harden not your heart. What is God's voice calling you to do? You might be like you guys. Your direction in life, what is God calling you to do? You might be a parent that is raising children. You might be a grandparent. You might be married. You might be single. You might be at the beginning of your journey or the end of your journey. But if today you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Your heart may be consumed with worries for someone you love who's ill. Your heart may be consumed with financial concerns or relational concerns. But if today you hear His voice, harden not your heart, not your intellect, not your emotion, not your mind, not your moral abilities, not any part of the fullness of who you are, because that is where God is dwelling and calling and being present and saying, do not fear, I am with you. Emmanuel, God with us. And as we said during Advent, the very last thing we hear in the book of Revelations, the very last sentence is the invitation to Christ, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. That's what we pray. Come, Maranatha, come to me. Because I desire not to have a hardened heart, but to have an open heart, a loving heart. And when does God come into the midst of that heart? When it's broken. That's why if your heart is broken, you are so close to the Lord now, because your heart is ready to accept and to hear. You're longing to hear. When things are going well for me, I'm cruising. I'm like on cruise control. But when things are really rough, then I'm listening, right? Then I'm listening for the Lord. I'm opening my life because I need Him so desperately. The words of St. Augustine, my heart does not rest until it rests in you. And again, even for St. Augustine, that was the totality of his life. His intellect, his mind, his emotion, his moral conscience, his compass, none of that rested until it rested in God. My heart does not rest until it rests in you. Jesus came to proclaim the kingdom. We see in the reading today the very beginning of that ministry. The kingdom of God is now, is here, right now, for us. So if today you hear His voice, harden not your heart.